Catch. Good to have you, buddy. My timeline is lit up because it sounds like everybody wants players to be able to transfer freely, no matter what. And apparently that's a proposal that is maybe close to getting done. What do you think? Is that a good idea?
I mean, I'm always for the players having more rights. They find a way to pull this off in other schools, I mean, with other sports. I mean, it hasn't killed baseball. It hasn't killed softball or any other non-revenue sports. Clearly, it would be a game changer. And I think that, you know, I probably think the same thing. I think every time the NCAA does something with a rule, and I thought this with the early signing period, and we had conversations about this, you know, you open up Pandora's box, and you should be prepared for what comes out of Pandora's box. And I think sometimes the NCAA makes these rules, and they haven't completely thought through the full consequences of what the aftermath will look like. And I think that before you do this, you have to have a plan in place, and you have to it can't be wild, wild west type stuff. But I think that you could pull this off, and I think it would be good for the players because, let's face it, I mean, the players are in a position where their scholarship agreement hasn't changed in the last 50 years. They are tied to the exact same contract, if you will, that was written up and drawn up way before television and money rights and all these other things kicked in. And they really haven't had much added to their side of the table as this thing has become a billion-dollar industry. So I'm all for players having more rights, but it doesn't take a very smart person to sit back and just think for a few moments about how this could go. I think the tampering and the foul play would be the biggest thing that you'd worry about, and they'll have to think that through. But on the surface, it's not a horrible idea, but it could go sideways real quick if they don't take some time to think about how they want to implement this thing.
And we could make up any scenario we want here, but quarterbacks, man. I mean, that's the gold, right?
Oh, man.
You imagine what's going to go on with quarterbacks that are doing well at other schools that aren't as sexy and just – bye-bye. You know what I mean?
There was the quarterback that played at Utah State a few years ago that couldn't stay healthy. I can't remember what his name is. But he came out of the Houston area, and nobody offered him a scholarship. And then he went to Utah State and started as a true freshman. And I remember thinking, get out, kid, transfer. Like, you can play for anybody, and you're at Utah State. And, you know, I think it'll be fast. I think those are the programs. Yeah, I really think more than the big dogs are going to eat. So you're Alabama, if you're Auburn, if you're Georgia, and there's a good player out there, and let's just say one of your best corners just left to go to the pros – and there's a kid that's all Big 12 or all Mountain West or something like that that you missed on, but he doesn't have to sit out a year. I mean, this is the big dogs are going to eat, and I think they have less to worry about than the Utah States of the world, who every time they have a good player, that kid can bounce and leave and go to a better opportunity, a more high-profile platform. So I think the big schools are the ones that will cause a ruckus and worry about this, but I think they stand to benefit from this. And it gives, I think, the really powerful schools a chance to build all-star teams, because if you were a kid playing, I don't know, just Texas Tech, and you could transfer to Bama because you were good enough to and they wanted you, I don't know why you wouldn't. I think the connection to recruiting will be interesting because – if there are no limits to the number of players that can leave, I think the 25-man rule probably has to go away, because if you're one of these programs that just for whatever reason, if you were to get hit hard by this, you might try to play catch-up and not be able to. So, like I said, I don't hate the rule on the surface, but, man, there's a lot of tentacles to this thing. And I think you have to really – I think one of the things that would have to go out the window is the 25-man recruiting rule, because you could see where a school could find themselves in from a numbers position in pretty scary situation if things went really bad and they lost – I don't know. I mean, if things are bad and kids sense that a coach might be in trouble and, you know, let's say 10 kids leave the program in a year, and that could happen – I think that program could be chasing its tail for a while.
Yeah, or let's say a coach leaves and players are ticked off about it, which happens.
And all the time.
So they,
all the time.
Every day, right? So
yeah.
Everybody decides.
Tom Herman's been dealing with that. You know, before they won their bowl game, there was talk that basically kids at every position were unhappy and considering transferring. And while that might still be the case, you know, if you take the pulse of a program in the middle of the season, sometimes it feels different than after the season.
Right.
And, again, I like it for the kids because I think a little more freedom and flexibility is good for them. But, you know, the sport already probably hangs on a very thin line with everything that takes place within it. So basketball would be huge. I mean, we always think about Kentucky as a recruiting powerhouse, and it is. But what if Kentucky could just go poach some kid? Then they'd be able to. And it would really make college athletics a lot more like the pros in that we would pay a lot of attention. We'd pay so much attention to the top guys that are transferring, and I don't know that we would pay attention to the underbelly of kids who are at really small programs who make many upgrades, who go from, you know, not on any kind of platform at all, but maybe they go to Purdue or something like that. We won't pay attention to that. We'll pay attention to what the SEC teams do and what elite kids they're able to get to come over. And, you know, it's probably like our viewing habits on Saturdays anyway.
Herb Hand's coming on board, co-offensive coordinator, offensive line coach. I know him well. Lived here when he was at Vandy and has been a lot of different places. What's his job title going to be? And will he call some plays or is he involved in that at all?
I think Tom Herman, the thing that I've been hearing for a while is that Tom Herman is leaning towards being much more active in the play calling world. And during the bowl game, more than any game this season, Tom Herman doesn't call plays. And in September, he did an interview with the media here locally where he was basically said, I'm not talented enough to call plays, which was a really interesting thing because it happened the week before they played Oklahoma, and Lincoln Riley does call plays, and Fisher is going to call plays, right. And there are people in this area, big-time, high-profile coaches that call plays, and he wasn't one of those guys, and I think he was hired because the big-money guys at Texas thought he'll fix. It'll be his offense. He'll be in control, and in year one, he wasn't. But then in the bowl game, he took control. He practiced. He practiced calling plays during the bowl game, workouts, and then he was involved in play calling during the game. And you could notice that the play calling tendencies changed a little bit. And I thought that there was a little bit more creativity involved. I think Hand comes in to help Tom Herman there. I think Hand comes in to take total control of the offensive line. And I think that was one of the bigger mistakes that Tom Herman probably made in making – and building his staff is that he could have gone out and hired a guy like Herb Hand originally and then put that guy in charge of the offensive line. And you've got a guy who I think, at least with the offensive line, he's got skins on the wall. He's a made man in college football in terms of being able to put together quality offensive lines. Texas didn't have that. I think they came out of this season thinking that Derek Wareheim wasn't quite ready to be the offensive line coach from Houston to Texas. So Hand comes in. I don't think Herb Hand is going to be a co-offensive line coach for any more than a year. I think they're hesitant to get rid of Derek Wareheim. They're bringing him in help. And then I think that within a year from now, you know, it's survival of the fittest. And I think Herb Hand will be an aide for Tom Herman. Should Tom Herman call plays, Hand will be in the box and be his eyes and ears, something that he has done and does have experience in, kind of being a partnership in play calling and being the eyes and ears in the booth. I think that he's going to serve that role. But I don't think he's, you know, you can slap a bunch of titles on him. Ultimately, he's going to be one of Tom Herman's right-hand men, and he's going to coach the offensive line. And I think in a year from now, there won't be two offensive line coaches.
Jeff Katchen with us, Orange Bloods, Bill King, Omni Nashville Hotel. We started the season with a true sophomore and true freshman at quarterback, and we played them both, and we played them both a lot. Do we know any more about who separated out or who fits better or who – I don't. Every time they switch them, I get more confused.
Well, the Texas quarterback rating as a whole went backwards this year. So Shane Buechele struggled as a freshman, but he went back about 10 points in quarterback rating backwards.
Yeah.
Sam Ehlinger has pretty much the same quarterback rating, and he's the guy that's shown the most upside, right? He was the best player on the field against Kansas State. He was one of the five best players on the field against Oklahoma. He's had moments, but, man, his bad moments have cost Texas games.
Oklahoma State.
Bad moment against USC. Bad moment against Oklahoma State. It's happened a little too much. They don't know. I think they think that Sam Ehlinger's going to be the guy. But nobody came within a 50-foot pole this season of taking that job and running away with it. Now Buechele's announced that he's going to have surgery. It says he'll be back by March, but he's a guy that already has a rep of not being able to stay healthy. He couldn't go, and he didn't make it through the bowl game without getting hurt. And it's just, I think they know they can't build around him. So I think there's more worry about keeping him and making sure that he doesn't leave than there is that he's the future of the program. But Sam makes people nervous because he's shown, at least as a true freshman, a knack for making the impulsive, terrible play that's cost the team games. I wouldn't be surprised if when we're talking in the fall, Bill, that one of these true freshmen that just showed up, whether it be Cameron Rising or Casey Thompson, I wouldn't be surprised if one of these guys makes their way into the two deep. And then I think Sam Ehlinger is going to be the starter, but I think he'll have a short leash. I mean, it develop or else.
They're talking about that new rule, if indeed we get to it, would be implemented August of this year. So my question would be, if Houston area's Jalen Hurts isn't the starter and Shane Buechele's not the starter, I'm just letting my mind wander here, Catch. I don't know what we're getting into.
Wondering about that since the game itself.
I bet you have. Yeah. So.
And look, he's very Greg Ward-ish. So there's been a lot of thought that Texas, from a quarterback standpoint, doesn't have a player that fits the skill set that ultimately Tom Herman's offense needs. And I think you could watch Texas on offense this year and go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. We're not gonna get away from that. The Jalen Hurts to Texas thing, I think, is going to be a thing until it's not a thing. And we saw it this year with Ohio State. Like, there was a lot of talk that JT Barrett would transfer from Ohio State and come back to Texas. And I never thought that that was realistic. I never thought that that would happen. But right up until the kids reported in August, that was something that I was being asked about on a daily basis. And I think we'll see the same thing with Hurts. And look, the rule change, the way it's being proposed, would be very beneficial for a kid like that. Should he lose the job, he will have options. And coming back to Texas to a major program in dire need of quarterback help, on paper, you can connect some dots.
Appreciate you, Catch. Thanks, buddy.
Anytime, man. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Jeff Catchum, man. He's good radio.